Sings my soul. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar.
Lord God, we love you. We're here tonight to worship you, to praise you, to thank you for all that you are to us. Where would we be without you, Lord? We love you. Bless this time together, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, Teresa. That was a beautiful introduction. Didn't she do a good job? Amen. We're going to let her do it again in just a minute, but I wanted to let you know, if you're in the offertory people, I missed it last night. Sorry, Brother Robert, but right after this song, come on down. All right, here we go. One more time.
Infinite, matchless grace, freely
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. Pastor Robert?
All right, comes our offering time. Can I have some volunteers come down and take our offering? Thank you, men. Let me pray at this time for these gifts. Father, as we commit our time to hear your voice, we reflect upon the fact that we have received much in abundance from your bounty. Lord God, you have given in every area of our life, and help us not to take that for granted. We pray now, Father, that as we have prayerfully reflected and perhaps continue to pray, that you would lay upon our hearts how we might bless this team for coming in obedience to you and feeding us this week. Lord God, may your kingdom continue to be furthered and expanded, and you glorified as a result of faithful obedience as we give to you. Thank you for your goodness. We pray it to your glory in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'd like to just say real quickly before we sing that what a joy it's been to be with the choir this week. Thank y'all for your faithfulness. Houston is doing an awesome job with them, and got them all prepared, ready to sing, and it's been good to be a part of it. And let me just say to you, church family, y'all sing. Man, I'll tell you, that's singing out there. That sounds great. I thought our church in Fredericksburg was a good singing church. Don't tell them I said this, but man, y'all tear them up. Y'all did great. Beautiful singing. Beautiful, beautiful singing. This is not on the... going out on streaming or nothing. Okay, good, good. Yeah. Anyway, we'd like to share a song with you tonight entitled Your Grace Still Amazes Me.
Praise still amazes me.
And just and loving. And we love you, God, and we love the way that you love us. Thank you. We give you thanks for loving us, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross. We will forever sing your praises and give you thanks. Holy Spirit, we love you. You are our teacher and our guide. Open our eyes, that we may behold wonderful, marvelous, great, grand things from your word tonight. We want to see what you see, God. Thank you. Show us more. We want to feel what you feel, Lord. Thank you. Increase our capacity to know you, to experience you. And only you can make that happen, Holy Spirit. Make it happen tonight for each person here, for your glory and for our joy and strength. For it's in the name which is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And hallelujah. Well, good evening, beloved. Happy Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Good grief, are you kidding me? Tomorrow is Wednesday. Well, it's been so much fun here. I tell you, you're a wonderful congregation. But you know, I say that to every congregation. Except one. There's one that I've... No, I don't want to go there. There was this one. But thank you, Pastor Robert, for inviting us here for this In the Word Bible conference and time of fellowship and singing. And thank you, Brother Gary. You and Teresa are the best, and we miss y'all. And your voice has a blessing in it. And choir, so good. Y'all not only sound good, you look good up there. And so glad to see all the young people here this evening. Thank y'all for coming. I know that there's busy everywhere. Well, tonight, oh, and by the way, if you weren't here at noon today, I want to introduce to you my wife, Beth Stahl. So she's right here. And you can talk to her after the service. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 18. We're walking through this chapter just one verse at a time, looking at the five great things that we see that Jesus highlights. As we have said, beginning with the question by the disciples, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And of course, there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. But instead of rebuking them, he turned their question to teach them greatness in the kingdom. And that's greatness in God's eyes. And that's what we want to see. We want to see what God sees. We want to join Him in what He sees as greatness. And the first, very first thing is that humility. And God sees that as greatness because He sees it in His own Son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. The blueprint of creation was humility. As that sacrificial, obedient, serving the Father, humility. And joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then as Jesus talks about the greatness of humility, there's immediately the greatness of holiness. God is holy. And we are not. And so He gives us this very startling picture of how we are to prune poor choices in our life. Not cutting off hands and gouging out eyes, although that has been done in church history. That doesn't stop a person from sinning. It's a heart decision that informs either wise choices or referring back to old habits and foolish choices, or in other words, choices that are fueled by, darkened, I guess you would say, by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're all too familiar with those. And Jesus is saying the only way to see holiness, the greatness of holiness, increase in your life is to sever those choices and asking the Lord for light, for new choices. Well, then, of course, last night we looked at the importance of the least and the last and the lost, and this has all of God's attention with the children that Jesus had around Him, and those that are sometimes overlooked, and those who are hurting, and those that are, you know, they're sort of inconvenient and sometimes in the way, and they cry at the wrong time and are messy and all the stuff that goes with that. But God says, well, so are you, and I love you, and I want you to be with me forever. And that, so it, all of these blend together in this one chapter. Now, we have separated them for each Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday night. We've separated it into five messages, but they all blend together. It's really difficult to stop one and then start, because they all go together. And so tonight, the greatness of fellowship, as we talked beginning about, starting with it yesterday, with the least and the last and the lost, we don't want to overlook anybody because of the greatness of fellowship. And if you're going to have a great fellowship, you're going to have a lot of forgiveness. And that's what the next verse says. You've got to have a great forgiveness if you're going to have a great fellowship. Now, I know some of you are saying, why did I come tonight? I knew I was going to do something else. And the reason I say that is because I know this is one of the most difficult topics to talk about. Always has. There's something about us that really enjoy forgiveness, and it's difficult to forgive. And I hope we can talk about that some tonight. Well, let's begin reading in verse 15. And see if we can understand this. And these are some of the verses that have been used out of context so often. And I hope that we can understand them in their context, in their culture, in this chapter. Beginning in verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Well, wow. Let's talk about this passage of Scripture in the context of greatness. And as Jesus has just finished saying, the greatness of the easily offended, the little children. And Jesus says, don't even go there. Don't even think about that. And yet, in the fellowship, that's going to happen. Because we are sinful people. And they're going to have to take place a lot of forgiveness. Another thing that I usually say at weddings is this. You know, y'all are so happy today, and it's a happy occasion. But I can go ahead and tell you right now, one of the things that you're going to do more in marriage than anything else is this, to forgive each other. And I usually look at the bride at that point and say, you're probably going to be the one that's going to have to do most of it. But we know this in families. You can't have a family without forgiveness. And it is required because of the kind of people that we are. We're sinful people. Sinful people in that we hurt other people. And also sinful people because we so easily get hurt. And a lot of the things that hurt us are not even sin. Sinful. Just don't agree on something. It's not sinful to disagree. But we get our feelings hurt. Or someone just doesn't like us. And so I've discovered in my life, when someone doesn't like me, I don't like them either. Well, of course, first of all, this is on different levels. First of all, we've got to think of it in terms of our relationship with God. He gave his only son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might know him. And in order for us to know him, we had to remove the barrier of sin that blinded us, that separated us from God. The wages of sin is death, which is separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And once that sin barrier, once that sin has been forgiven and removed, now I can know God. I can begin to know him and to know his love. And as I know him, I trust him. You see, you're not going to trust somebody you don't know. And you're sure not going to love someone you don't trust. Now, you may say you love them, but you're not going to love somebody you don't trust. And you're not going to trust someone you don't know. Time for story number 7. I've got to work that in here. It's about 1 week after that. This is the noon group that knows what I'm talking about. So, but the purpose of, here's the point of the story before I even tell it. The reason that God sent his son is so that we might know him. So that we would know God, our Creator, not only now, but forever and ever. He wants us to know him because he loves us. He wants us to experience the fullness of his love, and that's why he sent Jesus Christ, who took care of the barrier so that we could know him. And in knowing him, now I can trust him and trust him more and more and more. So we had been at First Baptist Kingsland in just about a week, maybe 2 weeks, before Sunday morning, you know, getting ready, and this little red-headed girl came running up to me. She had her hands behind her back, maybe 6 years old, I don't know. And she had a big smile. She looked up and said, Pastor Bubba, I've got a surprise for you. I said, okay, let me have it. She said, no, you have to lean over. Okay, so I leaned over. I said, okay, what is it? She says, close your eyes. So I closed my eyes. She said, now open your mouth. I opened my eyes. She She said, no, close your eyes and open your mouth. I said, no. And I was thinking, I didn't say it, I spoiled her fun, but I was thinking, I don't even know you. You may have a frog or something. Why didn't I open my mouth? I didn't know her. Didn't trust her because I didn't know her. Well, she kind of got her feelings hurt, and I said, no, what is it? Just hand it to me. Well, it's a piece of chocolate. I said, okay, thank you. Yeah. And I tried to make up for it, but no, I wasn't about to open my mouth. My eyes closed. God wants us to know Him. Jesus gave that definition for eternal life in His prayer in John 17. Very first request, Father, glorify thy Son, so in order that thy Son may glorify thee. For you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to everyone you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And when Jesus was talking about the false prophets and false teachers in Matthew chapter 7, He said, you'll know them by their fruits, because you don't get figs from thorn bushes. And a good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear bad fruit. Not everyone who says, so what is that fruit? How do we know? Yeah, we want to look for fruit. It must be the things that we say and do. But Jesus corrects us. He says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Isn't that good fruit? Did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. And so it's about knowing God. And so what does that have to do with a great fellowship? Beloved, we are here to get to know each other, because we're going to spend forever with each other. Now, I've enjoyed getting to know some of you just the last couple of days. As I said, you're a wonderful congregation. I'm going to miss you on Thursday. But we're going home. But you're here, but the fellowship, but getting to know, we've just been introduced. But the importance of forgiveness, so that we can know each other. You see, this whole teaching on forgiveness starts with my relationship with God. God comes to us by the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. He comes to us to tell us there's something that's wrong here. He wants us to experience His forgiveness. And if we all have had the experience, we're not interested. We don't want to hear about that. And so He'll bring in a couple of witnesses. He'll bring in the Word of God as a witness for us to convince us that of what? I really want to forgive you. His desire is not to point out what the bad. His desire is to point out who He is, that He desires to remove that barrier so for the relationship that we can have. Now, one of the reasons that I'm emphasizing this is because I've heard some bad teaching on this passage of Scripture that leads to legalism or religion. Okay, here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to check this off. Here's what I do with somebody that's offended me. I'm going to go to them and tell them their fault. Boy, that's worked real well in the past, hasn't it? Now we even have more problem. And anytime you introduce legalism or religion, you're going to magnify a problem every time. But beloved, as you know, our faith is not a religion. It is a relationship. And God desires us to know Him. And so the first level of this is to realize what God is doing when he points something out in his word and with his people. There's another witness. Somebody that is honest enough to come and actually look us in the eye and say, brother, we really need to sit down and talk about nose hairs that you need to cut or something like that you don't even know about. And I can help you with that. Now, obviously, so that can be a lot worse than that. When my mother was raised in Harlingen, and as well as Beth, and boy, they grow them nice down there. So anyway, but my grandmother, Allie Mae Scott, we'd go down there in the summers, and they lived out on 20 acres, and they had an old house. We'd sit up and we'd sleep up on the top floor, and lived by not far from railroad track. Anyway, down there, always in the summer, and I'll never forget. One day, my grandmother came in and said, come on, Bubba, we're going to H-E-B. I said, okay. She got in the car. You going to go eat groceries? No, she looked at me and said, no, we're going to buy you some deodorant. I said, what's that? She said, you're going to find out because you need it. But don't you thank God for people like that in your life? That will tell you about some things you didn't even know were offensive. Obviously, there's some things that are much worse than that. But that's the witness that Jesus is talking about that reveals something good about that person, God. But here's the next level you've got to deal with. Before you can forgive someone in the fellowship, you're going to have to forgive yourself. And there's a lot of people, a lot of believers that don't have, they say, I don't really have any problem about receiving forgiveness from God. I know that he has forgiven me. I just can't forgive myself. And that may be you. And to continue to suffer under sin when it is gone means you don't really believe that God has given you forgiveness. But you are going to have to be the first one to go to yourself and say, this problem has been resolved. You are forgiven. I heard a story about a young Catholic priest that went to a new parish, and right away, one of the ladies in the parish, he identified her as a prayer warrior, and she prayed, and it was interesting to him because she just would talk about how God speaks to her. And so finally, he confided in her, as the story goes, and said, you talk to God. She said, I do, and he talks to me. And so he said, there is something in my past that I just can't get over, and I've done penance, I've done everything, I just can't seem to get beyond it. Would you ask him about that? I know he knows what it is. She said, I will. Well, in a few days, he could hardly wait to see her. So he saw her and he came running up to her. He said, did you talk to the Lord? She said, I did. Did you ask him what I asked you? She said, I did. What'd he say? He said, he doesn't know what you're talking about. But why do we keep talking about it? That's called soul talk. Soul talk. Psalms talks about it a lot. Why are you disquieted in my, oh my soul, why are you disquieted within me? That's soul talk. Or, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's soul talk. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You can tell your soul what to do. And some need to tell your soul, you are forgiven of all of your sins. You are forgiven. If you were to try to ask God about it, he would say the same thing. I don't really know what you're talking about. Because it's gone. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for all of your sins. He died in your place. And now by the Holy Spirit living in us, we are saved from the penalty of our sins by the blood of Jesus. But now by the Holy Spirit, we're saved, we're being saved from the power of sin. That lying habit that remains in our body and in our mind that keeps messing with us. And Paul calls it in Romans 6, the power of sin. We have a greater power than that, the Holy Spirit. And so we are being saved, a process of overcoming the power of sin. How victorious and how joyful it is when you see the Holy Spirit do that. I love it. And then ultimately, finally, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Amen. We'll talk about that at noon tomorrow. That resurrected body, that new body. Boy, we just can't begin to imagine. But the whole point is this: to know what God is telling you about sin in your own life is where it begins. I'm convinced you cannot forgive another brother or sister in the fellowship until you start with you. Until you can forgive yourself. And when you do, your eyes are open to the magnitude of that forgiveness. And you have a great resource to draw from. Now, also in this passage, I want you to notice what is not there, which is a automatic default for us that complicates things. It says, first of all, you go to this brother and you tell him alone. Now, here's what we're prone to do. Someone will offend us, and it may be serious. It may be a sure enough sin, or it may be just a disagreement, or they hurt our feelings or something. Instead of going to them, we'll go to somebody else and talk about them. Now, I know you're probably thinking about somebody else right now, but we're prone to do that. The Bible calls that gossip. And it doesn't sound that bad. It's kind of like worry. Everybody does that. It doesn't sound that bad. But the source of gossip is this. You become not only the victim, the prosecuting attorney, the jury, but the judge in the matter. And the guy doesn't have a fair trial. He gets left out. And the reason that the Bible calls gossip sin is because there's only one judge and you're not him. You know, the book of Job is one of those books that you just wade through, and yet the message is so loud and clear that this was the problem with Job's three friends. They had such good theology. When you read the speeches of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they have the highest level of theology. But here was their problem. At the end, God said, "You three men are wrong about me." How could they have good theology and be wrong about God? I'll tell you how. They applied it wrong. They condemned Job with it. And that's because they didn't have the full picture. And neither do we. That's why we can't judge. That's why it's a sin to gossip. To talk about someone else behind their back because they hurt you, because they did something. Beloved, those things ought not to be so. Now, I feel like I know you enough to go ahead and get rough with you tonight. Maybe not. But I hope so. I hope it's okay. Because it's from the Bible. It's not from me anyway. But to remind ourselves, oh, we can have the best theology. But if I apply it by condemning someone, because I don't agree with them, because I don't have the full picture here, and none of us can see the heart. And just like from last night's message, to bleed over a little bit, we don't know when someone is hurting. I know you've heard the expression, hurt people hurt people. And so when someone hurts you, maybe look at them with a little different eye to say, "Boy, I've got to pray for that person because obviously they are really hurting. They're really hurting. Or they would not have lashed out so much." Now, you may want to take these verses very literal. I don't. And we can disagree. I won't argue with you. I'll just pray for you and know that in the end you'll see that I was right. But I have tried this literally, and it hasn't worked for me. Going to someone and say, I want you to know I forgive you. Oh, really? For what? Well, I don't want to go into it all right now, but I just want you to know you're released. You're forgiven. No, that's the wrong way to approach. Here's another thing as you seek to recognize the greatness of forgiveness for the greatness of fellowship. Before I can talk to another brother about whatever it might be, I've got to make sure my heart has been healed. Or it'll be my pain that's going to reach out to try to resolve the issue, and that never works. And it may take a long time for the Lord to heal you from what someone else has done to you. Which is to say, again, once I can forgive myself, before I can think about forgiving you, I'm going to have to really pray that the Lord would heal me. That the Lord would heal the relationship. Because how am I going to restore a relationship with you when I've not been healed from it to begin with? Does that make sense? It starts with you and God, then you and you, then you and the others in the fellowship after you feel that strength of healing. And so what do you do between now and then? Sit on opposite sides of the sanctuary and give each other the cold shoulder? I'm not talking about you. I know. I'm talking about that other congregation right now. No, you don't do that. You treat each other like it never happened until God heals you. How did you treat each other before the thing, whatever the thing was? Oh, I can't tell you how much experience I've had in this. Or let me put it this way. After 40 years in ministry, there is a long line of people that I've offended and sinned against. You just can't imagine. So what do we do in the meantime of getting healed? We pray for one another. We pray for healing for myself, healing for that relationship. And when we see each other, brother, how in the world? We haven't talked in a long time. Yeah, we sit on each side of the sanctuary. I know it. Let's start sitting together again. How's your family? Yeah, but what about, I don't want to go there. Let's don't go there. In fact, I've also seen it happen. Yeah, we need to talk about something. I don't even know what you're talking about. How can you not know what I'm talking about? Because the Lord has forgiven us. Or a good way to start the conversation is this. Would you be willing to forgive me? No, but he's the one that hurt you. No. Would you be willing to forgive me? Now, here's the other thing about a great fellowship. You can't do this alone. That's what I read here. It takes a fellowship of people to forgive one another. You can't do it without one another. And that's when you have prayer for one another and encouragement with each other. Not talking about behind the back. That's trying to be healed with your own power by some good friends. And everybody's got friends that's going to agree with you. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I don't think that's a good thing. I don't like that guy either. You know, you're going to always find somebody that's going to lie to you like that because of your relationship. Well, these passages of Scripture give us these instructions. And it requires the fellowship, to a great fellowship, to have great forgiveness within that fellowship. And we know who is in the middle of it. That's what Jesus is saying. First of all, he says this. And listen, This has been taken out of context so many times. He's talking about relationships here with this binding and loosing thing. And I've heard that used so many different ways. No, in the context, we're talking about forgiving somebody and being forgiven. Binding a relationship with someone. In other words, holding on to them. Look at the meaning of that Greek word. It's talking about being together. Binding together. And we even sing a song like that. Bind us together, Lord. And loosing. Loosing. Loosing what? Loosing that sin. Get rid of it. Forgive it. It's gone. What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Loose it. And bind with one another by loosing those disagreements and hurt feelings and on with the list that we could go. Because Jesus said, when you do that on earth, your answer, the prayer that you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is happening. Because, beloved, that is the will of God for you. Not only to experience God's forgiveness so that we can know Him and trust Him, but also with one another. And here's the reason why. Because there's something about God you will never know until you have a fellowship with one another and know each other on that level. The level of forgiveness. Because isn't that where we camp out most of all, at the cross, where we were forgiven of all of our sins? And we know God by forgiveness. And we will know God more and more as we practice, as we experience the loving greatness of fellowship, where there is a great fellowship because there's so much forgiveness. And what does Jesus say? Another passage is taken out of context. So where two or three are gathered together. Usually we say that at prayer meeting when only about five people show up. Well, don't worry, beloved. Jesus said where two or three are gathered together. This is about forgiveness. This is about two or three people getting together and say, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Yes. And say, you know, Jesus is right here. He's helping us, isn't he? Don't you imagine this is what the Lord wants to help us with more than anything else we need help with? It is foundational for a great fellowship to have great forgiveness. Tomorrow night we'll pick it up right here and go even further with it. Because Jesus is not through with us in this lesson. Well, amen and hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. And Teresa's going to begin playing silently, very quietly. Tough lesson. Tough words. Because we've experienced so much of it. And still unhealed. Don't you think tonight is about time for you, for you, for you, for you to start being healed by the Lord? Only the Lord can heal you. You might say, you don't know what happened. Is there anything greater than the healing power of the Holy Spirit? There's nothing. Yeah, but it wasn't, you just don't know. You don't know what happened, the domino effect. You don't know. Is there anything greater than the healing power of God? Why keep holding on to the pain when Jesus is offering release in His name? Now, it may be instantaneous. It may not be. The Lord may want to know if you really want that by being persistent in prayer. And making it that prayer that you go to sleep with at night. I know I have. Where all I could pray was, oh God. Oh God. And that's how I went to sleep, because of the pain. But He gives it. He gives it. He heals. He not only saves, He heals and He delivers. He delivers from that pain and that sorrow of broken relationship with Him and with one another. And oh, how He longs for that great fellowship with great forgiveness, because the outcome is great unity, which declares to the world who He is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are one, that are one. Wow, what a challenge, what a goal. What a thing to say, this is what we're working on now. Begins with God, begins next with you. Forgive yourself and the disappointment God has. And then the healing prayer. And then begin the relationship restored. Because, like it never happened, because to God it never did. Amen. Let that sink in. And you can begin a restoration of your relationship because it never happened. It's been healed. It's been forgiven. It's gone. Yeah, but. God will heal you from the yeah, buts too. No yeah, buts with forgiveness. Well, maybe I need to stop talking and let the Lord speak to your heart. Do business with the Lord tonight. Your Pastor Robert will be here for anyone that wants to come and share a prayer, a commitment. You know the power of that. It's a fellowship. It's required fellowship with that. Strengthens what the Lord is calling you to. All the things that He calls us to. He calls us to forgiveness.
Fightings within and fear.
Just as I am poor, wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. Of God I come, I come. Just as I am thy love unknown, hath broken now to be thine, yes, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst tonight. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for a perspective on that word tonight. And Lord God, we thank you for your healing power, your forgiveness, your work in our lives that is sanctifying, setting us apart and making us like your Son. Thank you, Father, for such a work. And we know it's a big job because we know ourselves. Lord God, we pray that even as we depart from this place, that message would continue to resonate in our hearts. We would continue to meditate and to hear you speak. And then, Lord God, to respond in a way that will honor your name, bring you glory, will strengthen your church, Lord God, and help us to be the people you've called us to be. We love you and thank you for all these things. As we commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, it is to your glory we do so. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. Another song? Are you closing with a song, sir? All right. Wonderful. We'll close with a song. I ask you to stand as we do that. We'll see you tomorrow at lunch if you can make it, and then again tomorrow evening. God bless.
Amen. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us see. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your I have in you. God bless you. Have a great evening.